It's Dr. Ramona. Join Lance Skirvin and I this weekend on the Dr. Ramona Brockett Show. We've got lots of shade to throw your way.
Seems like we just can't have a weekend of peace and quiet without having anything happen in the news. And I'm glad you're here, Dr. Ramona Brockett. I want you to tell me about Donald Trump, David Duke, and Hillary, and what the heck is plantation politics in this year of 2016?
Well, that's what I'm calling this, Plantation Politics 2016, Donald, David, and Hillary. You know, there's a lot going on. It's, in a way, I think it's sad. I'm going to tell you what I think is sad. Hillary got 84% of the black vote in South Carolina. And the headline, one of the headlines said, 8 years ago, Obama got 78% of the black vote. Now Hillary gets 84%. 4% of the black vote. I guess that is to shut all us black folks up who are standing back saying, are you crazy? I mean, Hillary, really? My experience with liberal Democrats is very negative. In fact, I find in general that white liberal Democrats do not like black folks who are too independent, too progressive, too well-educated, or like themselves too much. I think that that is not to say that the Tea Party likes black folks, that the Republicans like black folks, that independents like black folks, that libertarians like black folks, that, you know, go fetch your dog likes black folks. The reality is that the Democratic Party has its foundation in the Ku Klux Klan, period. And when I read headlines that say, Hillary got 84% of the black vote, I sit back and I say, really? June 25th, 2013, our former attorney general lost the Shelby County case, which had to do with the right to vote for black people. And in fact, the right to vote and certain requirements for voting are impeding black folks' ability to vote in states like South Carolina, Alabama, North Carolina, you know, those places. And here, Hillary has 84% of the vote, which also is sick to me also. And before we talk about David Duke and the Klan, let's just talk about this for a minute. We know that 51.3% of our jails are filled with black men, and those percentages are high also for black women. Once you get out of jail, you can't vote. If 12.1 or let's say 13% of our populace is black in America, how many people are actually voting if 51.3% of black folk are in jail? You know, so that cuts it down to 6% possibly, and that could cut it down to 2%. Why is it that America wants the rest of the world to think that this election hinges on the black vote? Right. It doesn't. There aren't enough black people to vote. There aren't enough black people that are qualified to vote. After they get us out of jail, and let's thank Hillary for calling black back in the 90s the super super criminals, super, there's a word. Now it's...
thugs.
Do you remember?
Thugs?
She was talking about super predators. Super predators, super criminals, the people who belong in jail.
But look at that word, predator. Like that's how, oh man, I'm not even going to go. I want you to keep your flow and your rhythm, but that's how I'm made to feel. Now, I don't feel like I'm a predator, but when I'm in public, the looks and the glances, and that's another subject, but this is something that the media and these people perpetuate on us, and people believe this stuff. It's true how they think.
This is what I want to see. This is what I want to see. Let's see if Hillary's listening to us. Hillary, if you do a political commercial where you walk onto a elevator and a black man walks on behind you and you don't grab your pocketbook, then I'll know you're down with the cause.
Oh, you know what? I got to take my little Sony video camera, find me a white woman, and do just that. Not even to say it's Hillary. You know, if you don't clutch the bag, you're down
don't
with the cause.
Clutch the pearls. Yes. Don't clutch the pearls or the bag. Because for real though, it's Hillary. And Hillary, you listening to us, Hilly baby? Okay, all right. You know, do a commercial where you step onto an elevator. A black guy steps on with a hood.
I love that.
On, okay. Another one steps on with a suit on, and another one steps on with his pants below his butt, and let's watch you not grab your purse anyway.
Wow.
Or your pearls.
Brilliant.
Clutch neither. I'll find the verse in Isaiah. Clutch neither.
Touch not anyway. Thine Michael Kors bag.
Honey, hush, John. Oh, no, take it a step up, Louis Vuitton. But then again, she's a bit masculine, so it might just be a black or navy blue coat.
Oh, you're telling secrets now.
Anyway, so, okay.
Is it really the first woman president if she wins?
Huh?
First strap-on president. Oh, sorry. I can delete that.
We are not going down that road today, honey. Not going down that road. Anyway, so here we've got 84% of black folks backing Hillary. And I find it disappointing. I'm sorry. There are going to be people who listen to this. They're going to be mad that I find it disappointing, but I do. Because they're not going to ask anything of Hillary the same way they did not ask anything of Barack. One thing that Donald Trump does have right, black folks should be mad at Barack. He's right. Our unemployment numbers are in the double digits. Our housing ownership is in the negative, okay? Our education, everything has depreciated for black folks in America since Barack got into office. It's a fact. From the ability to vote, from the double-digit unemployment, from the fact that Barack, his last Supreme Court appointee was a woman named Kagan. She was at Harvard and the dean at Harvard for years. In 20 years, she was not able to appoint one black professor, but yet he appointed her to the United States Supreme Court. So you've got this girl Kagan, you've got Sotomayor, the Puerto Rican, and you've got the Jew, right?
Yeah.
There's a disproportionate amount of Jews appointed to the United States Supreme Court and white men, okay? There haven't even been that many Italians. I mean, God rest our Supreme Court justice who just passed away. God rest them, right? Antonin Scalia. There's even a disproportionate amount of black men appointed to the Supreme Court. Two appointed to the Supreme Court, okay? Yes. Not one black woman. And people begged Barack to appoint a black woman back in, 2010 or 2013 when he appointed this Kagan woman who could not appoint one black professor at Harvard. But yet everybody's like, go Barack. We love them. What a cute couple. Aren't they the best couple? Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, okay. Well, that and a hot dog might give you gas when you're walking in Central Park. Okay, so let's move on. You obviously aren't in agreement with me. You very much think that Barack Obama has done a whole lot for black folks over the last 8 years.
Oh, because I've been quiet? No, I'm letting your brilliance shine because I am in 100% agreement with you and anybody who goes to landscurve.com. You know, these last few years will understand that. I admit that I caught the vapors on a good way, on what appeared to be a good way. But I did years ago write an article basically saying that he was a Trojan horse. And folks hated me for that. And
well, you know, this is my question. Before we talk about Donald and his love for David Duke and all things supremacist, and before we talk about Hillary and whether or not Donald is on her payroll, tell me why, in your opinion, are so many black folks down with Hillary Clinton?
That's simple, but it's complicated. Oh, man. I'll go back. This is abstract. I'll go back and say this. It's like, back in school, you had these white women teachers. Let's just get raw in a decent way. And they were so kind and gentle to us. And we weren't the threat yet, especially as black men. We didn't have the testosterone coursing through our veins that caused us to be the predators that we are now viewed as.
And predator. Remember, she called you a predator.
Oh, with an S in my chest. Super predator. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that combined along with... Yeah, look up in the hood. It's super predator.
It's Wayne. It's a black man.
Exactly. Exactly. And don't be one that's upstanding. But you see, that coon train. But that
train.
This is Don Cornelius.
Right? Let me God bless him, huh?
No, but that combined with her husband, I'm not saying Hillary, or the white woman, but that combined with their husband's fear of the black prowess, I'll say it decent, okay? Read between the lines. They looked at us like the potential little threats, and we thought they were loving us and treating us so kind. So some of us, as we got older, looked at a white woman who presents, she looks like somebody's school teacher. She'll understand. I can talk to her. She won't come back at me harsh. But she thinks deep down, she's going to bed with her husband. They talk at night. We are the little super predators, and we've grown up to be the big super predators. So she's not down. And we celebrate that woman because they will tolerate and put the fake smile on her. We think we can go to them for some type of acknowledgement of our pain or discomfort, or you'll understand what we're going through because you're a nice white lady. I'm not saying all white ladies are evil, evil, evil. I'm just saying that there's that dynamic in this country that most of us don't want to talk about. Okay?
I don't know. I grew up in, you know, and this is, you know, these people came after me. I didn't know that I wasn't black enough. I didn't, these white liberals in the South. Well, she's not black. She's no, her place is a black person. The ones who came after me the hardest were white women. Liberal white women.
Well, you're a black woman.
Stand me.
Yes. You know why? I'll throw something else in there.
I walk on because they're like, she doesn't know her place. She doesn't know that she's supposed to clean up after us. She actually thinks she's equal to us.
Right.
That's what I've experienced with extreme liberal white women.
I'm going to correct you on that. I'm going to correct you on that. And you're going to agree with me. They don't think you think you're equal. When you think you're equal and you walk and talk as an equal, they swear that you think you're better because your equal is like they're looking up to you because you're supposed to be down, and they're used to even the educated amongst us who have accomplished things still having that inferiority chip inside of them. See, and when you talk to them as an equal, how dare you?
It is a chip. I think it is a chip. I think that they put the chip in the collard greens or something, or the ham hocks, the cornbread. Somebody ate a chip and they put it right up in there. And apparently I didn't eat that.
And of course, you know, Ramona, they envy you because of your beauty. They envy you because of your longevity, because look at it this way. A Toyota engine will always get 300,000 miles at least before it's rebuilt, before it falls apart. But an American engine will get 100,000 miles.
I suggest you change that to Volvo.
Volvo's even worse. You can get a million out of that one. You know what
Honey
I mean?
Hush. And you know I'm a Volvo.
You're a super Volvo. But see, then the beauty that you have that they envy you for, because I'm going to tell you, you're a pretty young thing. And, you know.
Not young.
Yeah. You're beautiful. Look at you.
I'm
oh, seriously.
Young.
Huh?
I'm not young.
No. Let me correct that really quick in 15 seconds. Chronologically, we know what your age is. We both speak our ages proudly because we know we don't look the aged, the common thing. But you have your youth. You get your youth when you're young. Like that money that parents would give you when you went on a field trip, if you spend it early and you're broke and hungry for the day, that's your fault. You maintained your youth, even though you've had trials and tribulations like all of us. But when I look at you, I see something glowing from inside of you. And that's what they can't get through plastic surgery, through Botox, through a tanning salon. See? They can't get that. You can't buy that. They can't buy what you have.
Guess what else they can't do? They can't lynch it out of me. Hallelujah.
There you go.
No matter how much, whoa, lordy, Piccadillo Cotton, I sing, you cannot lynch it out of me. I know you're trying, though.
Oh, they'll try. They'll try. And they continue to try. We know that, you know.
But here's the deal. Let me just segue, because it's Sunday, and there were some very, very interesting conversations that were had on many of the morning talk shows. And one in particular on CNN, State of the Union, a guy named Jake Trapper, like Trapper MD, Jake mm-hmm. Trapper. I have to sip my tea on this. I have to have a little sip. Because I got to get ready for this, honey.
You got the shades on?
Jake Trapper, okay, on CNN, State of the Union, was talking to Donald Trump. And I'm going to read a little bit. On the Sunday morning talk shows, Republican presidential front runner Donald Trump refused to condemn endorsements from prominent white supremacist and former KKK leader, David Duke, and said he retweeted a Mussolini quote because it was a very good quote, okay? Moving on, let's continue to talk and read. It says that the extended conversation about white supremacists came on CNN's State of the Union, where Jake Trapper asked Trump if he would distance himself from David Duke's endorsement. David Duke was the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. I think I told you my KKK story, right? When I was in where was I? What was that state? What was that border state? Not Maryland, but they're all the same.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Most of your story has been a KKK story in some form or another. They're there, trust me.
They're all there. Mm-hmm. When they put the Confederate flag refrigerator magnet in my faculty mailbox while I was up on Martha's Vineyard for a vacation, I came back and all that stuff. You know.
They infest law enforcement here in Central Florida. It's infested.
They can't even help themselves. It's like black folks going past some chicken.
But you know what?
You gotta
let me tell you something. They can speculate on all the black groups that come down here, but it's a rusty old story for them with the KKK. So they better sit back and eat their kibble cookies and leave me alone. Anyway, that's a message to somebody. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I don't know who the message was for, Lord Jesus. Anyway.
I know you're watching.
Jake Tapper. Tapper. He got tapped. Anyway.
He asked
Donald Trump if he'd, distance himself from the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. Because Duke has told his radio audience that voting against Trump would be treason to your heritage. Voting against Trump would be treason to your heritage. We're going to get back to that in a minute. Well, Trump refused to condemn the endorsement or say that he didn't want the support of white supremacists. And he said it four times during the broadcast. In fact, let me quote you, quote, "I don't know anything about David Duke. I don't know what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. I don't know. Did he endorse me or what's going on?" That's what Trump said.
Wow. Okay.
And then it prompted this back and forth between Trump. So this is what Trump said, quote, "I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them, and certainly I would disavow them if I thought there was something wrong," unquote. Tapper comes back from CNN. Tapper says, quote, "The Ku Klux Klan," unquote. Trump says, quote, "You may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups, and I'll let you know," unquote. Tapper comes back and says, quote, "I'm just talking about David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan here," unquote. Trump comes back and says, quote, "Honestly, I don't know David Duke," unquote. Mm-mm. Are you alive there still?
My lip hit the ground.
And why did your lip hit the ground?
How can somebody lie so blatantly? I mean, you know, come on now, please.
Well, you know, you just said he lied so blatantly. I'd hate for you to actually say he was lying. However, CNN said this. CNN found in 2000 that Trump cited Duke's participation in the Reform Party as the reason why he no longer wanted the party's nomination. This is in 2000. So, and he said this. He said, quote, "The Reform Party now includes Klansman David Duke, a neo-Nazi, Mr. Pat Buchanan, and a communist, Ms. Leonora Fulani. This is not company I wish to keep," unquote. That is a quote from Donald Trump.
Wow.
So for some reason, Donald, between 2000 and 2016, he got amnesia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But look, what if Senator Barack Obama, when he was running for the presidency, said the same or had the same response when Hillary Clinton asked him about Minister Louis Farrakhan's support of him? What if he said, "I know nothing of him"? What, being in the same city?
He did. That did happen. Essentially, that did happen. Do you remember the minister out of Chicago, Thompson, the minister, and then the Catholic priest, both of whom were really close with Barack, and they had said some really negative things about white people, et cetera. And Barack Obama was like, "I don't know. I don't know nothing about that." But then again, Barack said to a group of evangelicals that he only believed that marriage was between a man and a woman.
Right,
prior
right.
To being elected.
Yeah.
So,
and he changed,
you know, we know that people get amnesia, you know.
That's crazy.
You know, I mean, wow. You know, would it have been hilarious?
You can't tell me Barack Obama didn't eat a bean pie when he was living in Chicago. That's a lie. Community activist and oh no, bean pie, my brother.
I'm sure he ate some pie, but I don't know if it was a bean. But I do know that he has, you know, all of these politicians
cream pie,
seem to get amnesia. But mm-hmm. What I find to be so curious is this, okay?
Tell me.
Donald Trump is a businessman. Am I right? Isn't he a businessman?
Yeah, last time I checked, yeah. Yeah,
he's an entrepreneur.
To the core.
Is that correct?
To the core.
Okay, which means, does he have a boss or is he the boss?
He is the boss.
Okay, somebody's trying to call me. I'm not going to answer that. He is the boss. Okay. If he is the boss, then, and he's used to being the boss, why does he want to work for somebody? You, are you with me?
Yes, I'm listening. Well,
Let me ask the question again. If he's an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. if he's the boss, if he's mm-hmm. the businessman, mm-hmm. he's used to doing his own thing, mm-hmm. why does he want to work for somebody?
Well, to me, I'll give my answer. It's the art of the deal, because he is an entrepreneur. He doesn't work with anybody, but he's working along with somebody, because at the end of the day, after he plays his position and helps somebody else get where they want to go, there will be kickbacks and payoffs, because he can go back to being a businessman and have his foot in that political door and make even more money and kick back money back.
Hold up.
Wait a minute.
All right now.
I'm on point tonight. Wait a minute.
Okay. So then are we in agreement that if Trump were to be elected, he would have to work for the United States of America, correct?
Yes.
Who would be his boss? Would he be the boss of the United States of America, or would the United States of America be the boss of him?
Well, it's the people who pull the strings who actually run the United States of America.
Okay, so here's the point. The people who pull the strings run the United States. Who would be the boss? Would it be Trump, or would it be the people pulling the strings above Trump?
The people above Trump pulling the strings.
Okay. Do you really think that Trump wants his strings pulled? I would say the answer would be no.
Yeah, he has too much ego for that. He has too much ego for that.
That's right. So hold up. So is he really running for the position of President of the United States? Or is he, as you seem to imply, as I've said before, is he investing in something for someone else? Because when I look at this campaign, not only does it play out like, you know, I'm watching the Housewives of Atlanta, or we can say the presidential plantain politics of America, okay? But I am not seeing a real campaign. I'm seeing a reality TV show. Mm-hmm. And moreover, let's say he does get the nomination. He has said so many things that the Democratic Party's nominee can use against him, that once the dust settles and everybody realizes that there's a serious snake oil salesman here, they're going to say, oh my God, we have to look to someone who makes sense. Who's making sense on the international level? Who's making sense on the domestic level? Who's representing the interests of groups like women? Who's representing the interests of the gays? I haven't said one thing about black folks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So don't nobody represent the interests of black folk in America, okay? Well, what's going to happen is, after Trump gets the nomination and your girl gets the nomination, we are going to see the seesaw flip, okay? Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to realize that Trump has been saying a bunch of junk. And he's going to make Hillary look like she is sane. And we all know, well, I'm going to leave that alone. He's going to make Hillary look like she's sane, and she's going to be the one with the answers, and she's going to win by a landslide. Am I wrong?
You're dead on point. Dead on point. Why can't other people see it?
I don't know. That's why, Hillary, if you're listening, do a commercial. Get onto an elevator with your pocketbook over your shoulder and let three black men walk in behind you. Let's see if you clutch your pearls or your purse.